Raleigh's Cigarettes. The pack with the coupon on the back presents Raleigh's Radio Rally. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Light up a Raleigh and join the fun at Raleigh's Radio Rally. With Rex Maupin and his orchestra, the songs of lovely Dale Evans, the humble humor of that stage of the soil, the handyman in our studio, Forrest Z. for Zeb Lewis, the star of our program, your master of ceremonies, Ken Griffin, and his guest star tonight, radio's own Mr. First Nighter. Mr. First Nighter is with us fresh from his latest trip to the little theater off Times Square. But friends, whether you go to the first night of a play in New York, a great Hollywood premiere, or just down to your favorite movie around the corner, you'll notice this. As the people come out of the theater, more and more of them do one simple thing. They light a Raleigh cigarette. And that's because Raleighs are the quality cigarettes that appeal to everybody. Each Raleigh that you smoke contains 31 of the finest Turkish and domestic tobaccos in the world, and they're all there for a purpose, to give you the mildest, smoothest smoke you've ever had. Now, union-made Raleighs cost no more than other popular price brands. In fact, you save money, because on the back of each pack is a golden coupon good for cash and worth even more in valuable premiums. So the next time you stop for cigarettes, why not give Raleighs a trial? Just say,
I'll take the pack with the coupon on the back. Raleigh's, please.
And now, while Rex Maupin and his boys are resting, we're going to turn the show over to the star of our program and your master of ceremonies, Ken Griffin.
Thank you, Dick Post. Say, Dick, suppose I tell the folks a little bit more about our show.
Ah, it's a great idea, Ken.
Well, you've already heard about Rex Maupin and his band, about our lovely little Dale Evans and his songs, and that pitchfork philosopher old Zeb Lewis. And now I'll explain a little bit more about our guest of honor. You know, you folks who've been listening to radio, you've heard men and women acting in all kinds of skits on the air. You've heard comedians, and you've heard singers, and you've listened to orchestras and dance bands. How often have you wondered about the personality behind the performance? Who is Mr. First Nighter? Who is Mary Marlin, Uncle Ezra, the Lone Ranger, and the countless others who entertain you daily? Of course, you've wondered about them all, lots and lots of times. Well, it's just that curiosity that we're going to try to satisfy. Every week, besides all the other features of the show, the Raleigh Radio Rally is going to introduce a radio personality, an outstanding radio star, as our guest of honor. We're going to let you in on the secret of just who is behind the voice. And then you'll hear our guest in a special performance. And tonight, we have a real treat and a real surprise for you. Tonight, we bring as our guest of honor none other than Mr. First Nighter. Of course, you all know Mr. First Nighter. Everybody's heard him in the little theater off Times Square. And now, you're going to know him better. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. First Nighter, Brett Morrison.
Here's my cab. Won't you step in?
Now, just a minute here, Brett.
Huh?
This isn't the First Nighter program.
Well, it seems as though I'm still in character tonight as Mr. First Nighter, Ken. The first night of your new show?
Say, that's right, Brett. Well, then, shall we start from the very beginning?
Right.
Brett, when and where were you born?
I was born in Chicago on May 5th, 1912.
Well, will you tell me, when did you first think that you wanted to act, Brett?
Oh, when I was about old enough to talk, I guess. I got the urge when I saw the old Ruth Roland serial.
And what was the first dramatic work that you did?
Well, my first dramatic work was in Sunday school. I did King David in a very loud voice to be heard all over the auditorium.
That's fine. And what was your first professional work, Brett?
Well, my first professional work, I think, was the first work I ever did in radio.
Well, you also worked in pictures, didn't you?
Yes, I worked in about four.
Would you mind telling us what they were?
Not at all. 2-2 to be good with Zazu Pitts and Slim Somerville, Hell Below, Cavalcade, and Tess of the Storm Country.
Well, how long have you been Mr. First Nighter?
Oh, about 2 years.
Well, thank you very much, Brett. I know that our audience is anxious to hear more about it, but... Oh, by the way, who's this coming up here? Dale Evans.
Hello, Ken. Do you mind if I ask Mr. Morrison a question?
Well, no, I don't. Of course, you know Brett.
Oh, sure. Do you mind, Mr. Morrison? It's really something that's bothered me awfully.
Well, go right ahead with your question, Dale.
Well, you're sure you won't think I'm silly?
Oh, of course not.
Well, then, how does it happen that all these years the little theater off Times Square has been running and running, and not once have you been late for the show, and not one single solitary night has it rained or snowed in Times Square?
Hey, what's all the laughing about?
Well, if it isn't our handyman, old Zeb Lewis.
Yeah, oh.
How are you, Zeb? Now, come on, don't be so bashful. Step right up here to the microphone.
Yeah, well, Ken, I will admit that I am a little bashful, but then I reckon I just can't help it. You know, all my relatives was bashful, Ken. Yes, they was. I don't suppose there ever was a more bashful feller than my cousin Munn.
Really?
Yeah. Took him 3 years and a pint of hard cider to get up enough gumption to ask Mary Spoonie Moore to marry him. Yeah, but you know, Ken, she was one of them there skinny gals. Fact is, she was so skinny, she hadn't had an awful big Adam's apple, she wouldn't have had a single curve. You know, finally one night, Ken, as they was walking along, I guess they was walking, he blurted right out for thinking what he was saying. He said, "Mary, will you marry me?" Just like that, he said it, Ken. Romantic-like, you know. And, of course, Mary said, "Yes." Been waiting to say yes for 13 years. So they walked along in kind of a daze for a few minutes, kind of waiting for reaction and things to set in. And finally, Mary says, "Mon, why don't you say something?" Mon says, "Huh, said too much already." Well... after they was married, Munn couldn't figure out just what to give her for a wedding present. So he collected a whole bunch of Raleigh cigarette coupons that she'd been saving and gave them to her. Well, sir, she was tickled pink and set in for electric waffle iron and, no, I don't know what all. Got that plug in, didn't I, Ken? Well, sir, when they went back home, Cousin Munn done what he'd always had a burning ambition to do. Not what you're thinking, Ken. To take Mary for a ride in a taxi cab. So they hailed a cab, was the only one in town. And, well, sir, having a customer excited that driver so much that before they got set down right good, he stepped on the gas and that cab gave a snort, leaped about 20 feet, and away they went, just away they went. Well, it's about 3 miles down the road, Cousin Munn yelled at the driver, and he said, "Hey, you better slow down there, son. These tight shoes of mine's killing me." The driver says, "What's tight shoes got to do with my driving?" Cousin Munn yelled back, "Well, when you started up back there in town, you jerked all the floorboards out. We've been running all the way." Say, Miss Dale, ain't it about time for you to give us a song?
Yes, it is, Deb.
Well, that's fine. What's it going to be?
Good morning.
Hello. Or no. Get ready, Rex. I'll oil up the microphone.
Good morning, we danced the whole night through. Good morning to you. Good morning, it's great to stay out late. Good morning to you. When the band began to play, the stars were shining bright. We danced till the break of day, it's late to say goodnight. So good morning, sunbeams will soon be through. Good morning to you. Here we are together, a couple of stayer uppers. Our day is done at breakfast time and starts in with our supper. Here we are together, but the best of friends look far. So let me sing this parting song from the bottom of my heart. When the band began to play, the stars were shining brightly. We danced till the break of day. It's the thing that we do nightly. So good morning, Sandman is over too. Good morning to you, good morning.
good morning. Good night.
That sure was sweet, weren't it, Ken? My doggies, I think oiling up the mic helped some, don't you?
You bet it was sweet, Zeb. And in just a little while, Dale, we'll be back again with another song. And now, we again present our guest of honor, Brett Morrison, the well-known Mr. First Nighter, heard as Bert Evans in our original radio drama of the carnival, Come On. The role of Polly is portrayed by Louise Fitch. Slim is played by Herb Butterfield. And the role of Chick, played by yours truly. It's county fair time in Rock River, and the big show opens tonight in just a few hours. Right now, the fairgrounds are busy with carnival people putting up their stands and the sideshow tents and the merry-go-round and all the other rides. And there, on the midway, walking up to one of the booths, is Bert Evans, whose father owns the carnival concession.
Guess this wheel needs a little oiling, huh?
Hello, Bert.
Hello, honey. Sorry I couldn't get over here sooner.
Oh, of course, dear. I know how it is on opening day.
How's your dad, Polly?
About the same. Doctors say he'll have to be away a long time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just the same, it makes me sick to see you working around a carnival, running a chinaware stand.
Bert, please, you know
how I
feel.
I know you feel like you got to carry on for your dad. You got Slim here to help you, but this isn't the life for a girl like you.
Oh, Bert, please don't start that again.
I'm fed up with this carnival life. One town after another, junky hotels, always slaving, never getting anywhere. Listen, honey. I can still buy that little chicken farm.
No, I don't want any chicken farm. I've told you that 1,000 times. Besides, I've got to stay with this stand.
And I thought you cared for me. I don't know whatever made me think you loved me.
You don't know. Really, I don't know why I ever thought so.
Well, all right, if that's how you feel, I won't bother you anymore. Goodbye.
Ooh, you two youngsters sure can raise a fuss awful fast.
Hi, old-timer. You the boss of this joint?
Nope. This little lady here is Miss Benton.
Well... How do you do, Miss Benton? My name's Howard, Chick Howard.
Well?
I just joined the carnival, and I think maybe I can be some help to you.
Oh, really? How?
Well, Miss Benton, you know how difficult it is oftentimes to get people started playing your wheel here. Well, I'm what you might call a professional come-on man.
You mean a shill?
Well, if you must use the vernacular. Anyway, if things are slow around your stand, I'll start the game going until you're getting a good play.
That's all right, but where do you benefit?
Oh, now there's the point. You just pay me according to the play I attract. You see, I'll be working for almost all the joints along Midway, and it saves you people time and the trouble of shilling for each other.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. All right, drop around tonight.
Yes, ma'am. You just try and keep me away from this thing.
Come on, folks, here you are, folks. Only 10 cents. 10 cents for a seven. Can you wind it? Still, hang up. Step right up, folks. Set a china for only 10 cents.
Say, Polly.
Oh, what's wrong, sir?
Did you see that? Bert Evans walked by out there in the midway without stopping here.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing.
Hi. Hi there, Polly. Hey, that's your name, isn't it?
Oh, hello, Howard.
Oh, just call me Chick. Everybody else does.
All right.
Well, not much going on around here, is there? Let me see if I can stir up a little bit of action now. I'll cover 3, 5, 7, and 9, old-timer. Give that wheel there a few whirls.
Okay. Step up, folks, and try your luck. The winner every time, folks, only 10 cents. Think of it, only 10 cents for the set of eggshell clinger. Step up, folks. Here's another winner, folks. Another set of clinger for only 10 cents. Here you are, sir. All in a brand new shopping bag.
Gee, thanks, mister.
Well, come on, let's try this wheel. Yeah, that's all just one over there. Oh, well, put that dime on number 6.
Yes, sir. A winner every time here. No blanks, folks. You can't be a winner unless you're a player. Only 10 cents. Step up, folks.
So glad it's closing time, Polly.
So am I, Slim. We certainly had a big night.
Polly, if you're waiting for Bert Evans to take you home... Thought I'd tell you, I seen him leave a bit ago.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing. Just thought I'd tell you.
Hiya, Polly. Now, things. I guess we got you some action around here tonight, all right, huh?
You certainly did, Chick. What do I owe you?
Oh, seeing as how it's you, a couple of dollars will do.
Okay, here you are. One, that's two.
Thanks. Hey, look, Polly, I got my car just outside the gate. Could I drive you into town and maybe we could stop for a bit of supper, huh?
Well, I think I'd like that, Chick. Slim, you finish closing up, will you?
Okay.
I'll see you tomorrow. I think I'd like that, Chick. Slim, you finish closing up, will you?
Okay.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, that's another night. Only one more to go. Them 2 weeks in this town sure pass fast, eh, Polly?
You're right, Slim.
Done pretty well, too, we have, with that chick Howard giving the customers the come on.
Mm-hmm.
You've been seeing an awful lot of that fella, ain't you, Polly?
Why not? He's good looking. He's a gentleman. He's smart. In fact, I'm rather fond of him.
Bert Evans been around looking for you the last few nights.
Oh, now, that's very interesting. He's been hanging around during the day, too. I suppose you've noticed that.
Sure. And I noticed you ain't encouraged him much. Huh? Here comes the young fellow now. Hi, Bird.
Hello, Slim.
Hello, Polly.
How do you do?
Polly, listen. I'm sorry about what I said. Please.
It really doesn't matter.
Can I drive you home?
Sorry, Bird. I have a date with Chick Howard.
Polly, please listen to
me. Hiya, Paul. Ah, thanks. Oh, hello there, Evans. How are you and your merry-go-round getting along? Well, Polly, you all set?
I'm ready, Chick.
Okay. Let's get going then, honey. I got a real surprise for you tonight. So long, boys.
Them two's been pretty thick lately, Byrne.
Yeah, I know, Slim. I've seen what's been going on.
Well, I reckon you ought to do something about it, Len.
I've been trying, Slim, but you saw...
You know, the show is tearing down tomorrow night. I heard her talking about joining up with another carnival.
Another carnival? Oh, she can't be. Slim, I'm going to make her listen to me. Where'd they go?
Oh, same as all the other nights, I reckon. A bite to eat and a drive into the country.
Quiet here in the country, isn't it, Polly? Especially after the racket of that fairground.
That is peaceful, Chick. And beautiful.
You're all the beauty that's here, Polly.
I think.
Honey... Honey, you promised to give me an answer tonight.
Yes, I know I did.
I know you're worried, sweet, about your dad and all that, but like I told you, we'll go over to Merrill County and get married there. Mike Conway's got the carnival opening at the fair there next week, and we can join his outfit. As long as you feel that you want to stay in the carnival business, the two of us can run the stand. We'll make a great go of it, honey.
I've been with the Evans show so long. He and my dad were great friends.
Well, I understand, Dawn, that after all... Just because Evans owns most of the show doesn't mean that he owns the people who've been working on his lot.
You say we'd leave tomorrow night?
Uh-huh.
After the fair closes?
Yeah, that's right, honey. And we get to Merrill in the morning, just about the time that the courthouse opens. I'll bring our bags out to the lot tomorrow night. Slim can tear down the stand and pack your chinaware and stuff. We'll tell him where to meet us in Merrill. Then we can leave right after the carnival closes tomorrow night.
All right, Chief. I'll meet you tomorrow night at the stand. Please. Let's go home now.
Hiya, Slim. A little bit slow tearing down, aren't you?
Nope, I ain't in no rush, Howard. Truck won't be along for a while yet.
Where's Polly?
Oh, she's in back, checking up. Hey, Polly.
Okay, be right out.
Well, Slim, you think you're going to like Conway's outfit?
Oh, I don't know.
Hello, Chip.
Hello, honey. Oh, so you're here too, Evan? Well, I'll take those bags of Polly's that you're carrying, if you don't mind.
Don't concern yourself about Polly's bags, Howard. I'm putting them in my car.
You're a great joker, Evans. Tell this fellow where he rates, will you, Polly?
Chick, you're a wonderful boy. And as a come-on man, you're simply perfect. Well, I haven't had so much attention from Bert since the first week we met. And that's been so long ago.
Hey, just what is this?
What? You said yourself you're a professional come-on man and get paid according to the play you attract. You did a perfect job for me. And here's a bonus. $10.
Let's get going, darling. So long, Howard.
Well, can you beat that?
I reckon them youngsters are going to be mighty happy running that chicken farm. You aim to keep on chilling for me now, Howard?
I guess that takes care of you, Ken, don't it? Doggone if you boys ain't going and got me a hankering to be visiting the county fair back home again. Yes, sir. Oh, Brett, you know, that is a pretty slick piece of acting. Wish I was a great lover like that. I say, Brett, I just aimed to ask you, confidential like, maybe you could give me a pass on the merry-go-round or one to that show where the music goes,
huh? I'm sorry, Zeb, I just gave up the carnival business.
Oh, shut up.
Brett Morrison, just for fun, we'd like to give you something to remember us by. You know, on the back of each pack of Raleigh cigarettes, there's a golden coupon. It's a dividend that every Raleigh smoker gets. Well, the makers of Raleigh's have suggested that you take a dividend from us, Mr. First Nighter. Now, this big display here in the studio represents 60 of the fine premiums that you can get with Raleigh coupons. We want you to pick one out, Brett. Any one you please, and take it home with you.
Well, thanks, Ken. I'd be delighted. I hardly know what to pick out, though. There's so many fine things here.
Well, perhaps you'd like to have this leather cigarette case or a satin chromium pocket lighter here.
Good-looking pearl-handled penknife.
Hmm?
Oh, here's what I'd like. Can I have this?
Why, sure. That's the famous Remington Rand electric shaver. And it's yours, Mr. First Nighter.
Thanks, Ken. And thanks, everybody.
It's okay, Brett. Now we'll hear from Rex Maupin and his boys offering an original arrangement of three Gershwin tunes. That Certain Feeling, Love Walked In, and Liza, featuring Ernie Pasosha's trombone. Done, Rex. Nicely done. And now, where's our handyman, Zeb Lewis? Oh, Zeb!
Yeah?
Zeb!
Here I am, Ken.
Hey, what in the world are you doing sitting out there in the audience?
Oh, just rollying around.
Come up here and rally around the microphone,
yeah,
will you?
Yeah, I will. Excuse me, folks. I'll be right back. Say, Ken, I was just talking to a friend of my Uncle Leroy. Did I ever tell you about him?
Well,
All right, then, I'll tell you, yes. Well, sir, Uncle Leroy was the most stubborn man I ever see, Ken. I remember one time we had a spring flood, and it almost washed away the flat. Why, the water was almost 6 feet deep in the front yard when the insurance adjuster come around to see how much damage was done. Well, sir, he was standing there in a rowboat tied to the front porch, just looking around, and all of a sudden he sees a derby hat floating on top of the water. And the funny thing about it was, it wasn't floating around in a circle, but floated in a straight line, float down to the fence, turn around and float right straight back to the house again. Down to the fence and back to the house again. Well, sir, that kind of puzzled the insurance adjuster, and he turned to Aunt Tabitha and he says, "Well, wonder what makes that derby hat float so funny?" She says, "Oh, that's my husband Leroy under that hat. Once he makes up his mind to mow the yard, he's going to mow it or else."
Well, Zeb, if I heard that yarn from anybody else, I wouldn't believe a single word of it. And while we're speaking of seeing things, though, I see that little Dale here is all ready to sing again. Will you tell us what it is, Dale?
I can't get started.
Got nothing on me. I didn't do so good either.
Well,
unattainable. Life's a bore, the world is my oyster no more. Now all the papers where I led the news with my capers now express the news. Glamour girl is out of the social world. Flown around the world in a plane. I've settled revolutions insane. The North Pole I have charted, but can't get started with you. I get more mail than Hedy Lamarr, and though my British wants me to star, I've got a house, a show play, but can't get no place with you. Ah, you're so supreme. Lyrics I write of you, I see. Just for the sight of you, dream both day and night of you. And what good does it do? In 1929, I sold short. In England, why, I'm presented at court. But lately I'm downhearted, I can't get started with you. Oh, when first we met, how you elated me. Oh, my dear, you simply devastated me. Yes, now you've deflated me. You're my Waterloo. I get proposals most every day. And Walter Winslow says I'm okay. But lately how I've smarted, I can't get started with you.
Thank you, Dale, and you too, Rex and your gang. And Brett Morrison, Mr. First Nighter, we all want to thank you for being with us tonight.
It's really been a pleasure, Ken. Oh, by the way, who's your guest star going to be at next week's Raleigh's Radio Rally?
Brett, I want to tell our audience just a little, a very little, about our guest star for next week. And now listen carefully, because here's your chance to win Raleigh cigarettes free. Right here in the studio, we have next week's guest star, and we're going to let you hear his voice. If you can guess who he is, write his name and your name and address on a postcard to be postmarked not later than next Tuesday night. Send it to Raleigh, Chicago, Illinois. We'll send you an attractive gift box of Raleigh cigarettes free. Now listen carefully, because here he is.
I'm delighted that I'm going to be on the Raleigh cigarette program next week. I can't tell you who I am, but I'll give you just a hint. I'm on twice a week at a dramatic show. The character I play is pretty well known to both old and young. And here's a line from my last broadcast, which may give you a hint. Listen, you desert rat. If I hear of you rustling any more cattle, you've got me to reckon with.
Well, that's all for tonight. Remember, folks, rally round with Raleigh's next week, same time, same station. We'll all be back. Rex Maupin and his boys, our own Dale Evans, our handyman Zeb Lewis, our guest star, and yours truly, Ken Griffin. Good night.
This is Dick Polk speaking for the Brown and Williamson Tobacco Corporation, reminding you to light up a Raleigh. This is the National Broadcasting Company.